Lord, this morning we just come before you just thanking you for who you are and for what you have done for us in our lives, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you, your Holy Spirit would just move upon this place, Lord, upon every heart here this morning, Lord, that you would do a mighty work in our lives, Lord. Lord, we know that you are good, Lord. We know that you are above everything, Lord. We just praise you for that this morning, Lord. Thank you for our freedom, Lord, that we have in you, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated this morning. You know, as we think about, you know, standing fast in the liberty of Christ this morning, you know, as we look at what God has done for us within our lives, we need to look and recognize that He did that for me and for you. So let us this morning think about, you know, the liberty, you know, that we have, and we need to stand fast. You know, that stand fast is stand firm in what Christ has done for us. Paul told us, you know, the first part of Galatians, he talked about, you know, if someone else comes to you preaching any other gospel out there, let them be accursed. He is serious about what the true gospel of Jesus Christ is, and that is the gospel of grace. It is plus nothing. We can't add to the gospel. The gospel is God's grace that He has given to us on the cross of Calvary so that we could have everlasting life. And I pray that you have received that grace this morning in your life. And as you are sitting here this morning, that you are secure in your salvation of Jesus Christ, not because of anything that you do, you know, in your life. Well, I work my way to Christ. You know, I've done all of these things, you know, so that Christ will be pleased with me. I will tell you there is nothing that you can do that will make Christ any more pleased with you than He is already. He loves you. And it was because what He did on the cross, not because what we did, that we are saved this morning. Christ loves us so much. And I always, and I said, you know, when I started this study, or this going through this book of Galatians, that our grace is Christ. That God sent His Son so that we could have life. He is the grace that the Father sent for that, so that we could have everlasting life, because we did not deserve Jesus Christ. None of us deserve Jesus Christ. But God, in His infinite mercy and His infinite goodness, He, at this appointed time in history, He sent His Son to be born of a virgin, to live amongst us, to live a perfect life and fulfill the law in every way. And He went to the cross as the perfect sacrifice for our sins that we could not do, because we are sinners. And He gave His life for us as an atonement, as we say in our churchy words, as a propitiation for our sins, as an atoning sacrifice for us. Because we couldn't do it. I couldn't save myself. I've never been able to save myself. I will never be able to save myself. It is all through what Jesus Christ did and what we have to do. We do have a responsibility in this. We have to accept it of what Jesus Christ has done. And I have to live in that grace saying, Lord, I know I can't save myself, Lord. Thank you, Jesus Christ, that you gave your life for me. And I trust in you this morning that I cannot get to heaven on my own merit. It is through your merit that I am there, because I am clothed in your righteousness this morning. Because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I have made Him Lord of my life because I trust in what He has done on the cross of Calvary. So this morning, if you will turn to Galatians chapter 5, You know, and I heard something pretty interesting this morning. You know, and I've kind of looked at, you know, cell phones. And, you know, all you can look on your cell phone, you know, your app on your cell phone, and, you know, and get God's word there. But, you know, I heard something this week, and it was through a podcast of no other than Charlie Kirk that said that that's not the best way to read God's word. And let me tell you why that he said. So if I take my phone out and I'm reading, and next thing you know, and if you look on my phone right now, you see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 notifications that have popped up on my phone since this morning. Guess what them notifications do? They distract you. So you're reading God's word, and next thing you know, you get a notification. Where does your mind go? It does not stay on God's word. It distracts you off somewhere else. And I said, Lord, I've never thought about that. So next Sunday, I want every one of you to bring your Bible. I want every single person to have your Bible, to have the Word of God standing before you. If you don't have one, come see me and I'll get you one. Because His Word is more important than a cell phone notification. And believe me, I was the first one to say that I'd never thought about that. And guess what? They distract me. Because my mind wanders. So let's get in God's Word and let's read God's Word and let it speak to our hearts this morning. And not a Facebook notification or a Snapchat or a TikTok or a whatever it is, all these notifications that pop up on our phone. Text message. I wonder what they were saying. Next thing you know, you ain't listening to what God's Word is saying. God's Word is trying to speak to you this morning. And He wants to speak to your hearts this morning, not just your ears this morning. So Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 1, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Does that verse sound familiar? It's our memory verse, isn't it? Number two, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, who accept to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Verse 7. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Lord, we just come before you this morning just thanking you for all that you have shown us in your word, Lord, as we dig into it in our hearts, Lord, throughout the week, Lord, and just come here on Sunday to listen to your word being spoken, Lord. Just give us guidance. Give us concentration, Lord, to hear what you have to say to us this morning, Lord. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to kind of go on like four different verses within the context this morning. But the first one is Christ sets us free. Verse 1, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. You know, freedom is spiritual, not political and not economic in your life. I tell you, you know, we hear financial freedom. You know, Dave Ramsey, nothing wrong with Dave Ramsey, but Dave Ramsey's financial freedom package does not make you free. It makes it, Christ is what gives you freedom this morning. There's no Democrat or Republican party this morning that will make you free. Christ is the only thing that makes you free. It is through what He did on the cross. I tell you, sin enslaves you. Sin makes you under bondage this morning. There are so many people that are living under that in their life, or they may be living in a way that's saying, well, I'm going to do enough things. Well, I'm going to be circumcised, or I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to pray every day. And if I do them things, Christ is going to be pleased with me. Folks, we do them things because Christ is pleased with us and we want to know Him better. Not because we have to, but because we want to. There's a big difference between have to and want to. Some of our want to's broken and our want to needs to be fixed. We should want to and desire to feed on God's Word on a daily basis, but we think, well, I've got to do this, man. The preacher told me I had to memorize this memory verse this week. You know, if I don't do this, God's going to be mad at me. The preacher's going to be mad at me. You know, it don't really matter what I think. It matters what God thinks, and He is pleased with you because you are His child. I pray that you are this morning. Are you a child of the King? Man, that's a good song right there. Boy, I ain't heard that song in a while. Sammy Joe, we might have to look that song up, A Child of the King. You know, we are the child of the King of the Everlasting Father, so we can hold fast and Christ sets us free. Jesus broke the chains of sin and the law-based righteousness. That's what the Pharisees were doing. They were saying, well, you know, you can be saved, but you have to do these things in order to be saved. You have to follow this set of rules within our life. And ours today, you know, we may say, you know, well, you can be saved if you're baptized. I don't know what you think, but I know what God's Word said. And God's Word never says that we have to be baptized in order to be saved. Does He command us to be baptized? Not for salvation, but as an outward expression of what happened on the inside. I want to. Oh, there it goes again. I want to share with the world what Christ has done for me. What He did in my life, that He set me free, and I am free indeed this morning because of what Christ did. And we represent that with baptism, that we die to that old person. Man, I am no longer that person anymore because Christ has set me free. He has broke them chains. And I think I brought this up last week, and we even sang this song last week about Paul and Silas. Man, they were sitting in them chain or in them prison and they were bound. Them doors were shut and all of a sudden they started singing. Woo, they started praising the Lord. And whenever they praised in the Lord, the place began to shake. And what happened? Them chains let loose. And them doors come open. And what happened? The jailer, his family, and everyone else got saved because of the power of God was shown in that place. I tell you that Paul and Silas, I don't know where Peter came from. Peter was probably mad at someone out there. But Paul and Silas was there worshiping the God even in the rough circumstances of life. That's what makes us free, folks. We can worship God even in the bad times. Because anyone in here not had any bad times in your life, any rough times? We all have, haven't we? It's what are you going to make out of them bad times? And we talked about this on Tuesday night, just a little plug for men's ministry. If you have not been yet, man, come on. First Tuesday in October, we're going to have men's ministry back here in the fellowship hall, and we have a good time. We had nine the first week. We had 10, or the first time, they had 10 this time, and I want to have 20 this next time. So let us come out and be a part of that, you know, and that we can break them chains of people that are being constrained this morning by sin in their life. Brother Jimmy, I just can't let it go. Why? Because it has a bondage on you. And there's only one person that has the key, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he can loosen them chains, and he can break them chains loose, and he can set you free this morning. So don't go back to slavery of self-justification in your life. And that's what a lot of people do, is they get on their life, they give their life to the Lord, they living for Christ, and all of a sudden something bad happens in their life, and then they start going backwards. And going back to them old ways. Christ didn't save you to go back. He saved you to go forward. And I heard this said, and y'all probably heard this said before, if you're not moving forward, you're going backwards. There is no standing still. Because in our life, man, God is wanting to take us to a different place in our spiritual life. But we're not going to stay the same. Folks, so make sure that you are reading and that you are absorbing God's Word, not because you have to, but because you want to in your life. And that comes with prayer. That comes with asking God to give you a heart, a desire to seek after Him. And that's something we all need to do on a daily basis, because we do have them hiccups. So if the Son sets you free, in John chapter 8, verse 36, if the Son sets you free, you're what? You're free indeed. Satan, this world, is not going to set you free. This world is going to put you into bondage. But Christ is the one who's going to set you free this morning. So trust in Christ. Trust in Him in this world that we live in, because we are here for a certain amount of time, and then we get to go to heaven to be with our Father. We get to be with the one who died on the cross for us. So Christ sets us free this morning, and we need to live within that in our life. Number two, Christ sets us free, but there's a danger to legalism. And that's what we have to be careful with within our church today, is a bunch of legalism, a bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees and religious leaders within our churches today that say that you have to do this, this, and this in order to be saved. Legalism equals earning God's favor by performance. Have any of us ever been guilty of that? Y'all ain't. Don't be lying now. We in God's house. We all have, won't we? I got to read my Bible this week. Is there anything wrong with reading your Bible? No, you need to. But it's not because you're earning favor with God. God said that you have favor with Him because you're His child. So legalism is something that is within our churches today, folks. We can say that it's not. We can look, and say, my church doesn't have any legalistic people in it. Folks, every church has legalistic people. They may only show up for the business meeting whenever there's a business meeting of something big, but But there are people that are legalistic, within our church, and start saying that you have to do certain things. Well, why are we doing this? Man, I ain't seen you at a business meeting or in church in 2 months, and then you're going to come to a business meeting asking these questions? I'm meddling now, ain't I? I'm sorry. But we have to not be legalistic within our lifestyle, and we got to look at people and know that, hey, we can't build their performance for them to be saved. Only Jesus Christ can save them. So what do we need to do? We need to love them. We need to love the sinners of this world. We need to love them, not love their sin, but love them. And show them the love of Christ and all that He has done for them, so that they can be taken, from this bondage that they're in their life. So we need to trusting the law nullifies grace. And that's what He's talking about, in this 2-4 here. As we look at it, it says, "Indeed I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And it's saying there, if we become circumcised to please Christ, to please the Sadducees, the ones, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, you know, the Jewish people, if we become circumcised in order that people may say that, hey, you're circumcised, so you're saved, Christ said it does nothing for him whether you're circumcised or you're not, because circumcision does not save you. We need a circumcision of the heart. We need a change of the heart. That means a change from the have to the want to. Or you may have the don't want to's, and then you're really in trouble if you have the don't want to's. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to men's ministry. I don't want to read God's word. I don't want to. The question is, why do you not want to? Why is it something that is so disparaging in your life that you do not want to know Jesus Christ? And it is because you are entangled by the things of this world. So Galatians 5:4 says, you have fallen from grace. And that did not say you have fallen from salvation. If you start looking at in your life of doing legalistic things instead of things for a grace, why would you think that you are living under grace at that point in time? Why would you ever want to go back to that lifestyle? You have fallen from the grace that God has given you. You have put yourself back into bondage in life. The backpack full of rocks. We got a bunch of rocks around this area, don't we? You know, people, they have backpacks, you know, and they fill them full of rocks, full of sin in their life. And that is so much tearing them down and making them just weak from having to carry that load all the time. And Christ brings, or He takes that backpack off of us, where we don't have that bondage anymore, and we walk in freedom. Walking, man, we are walking, we're high-stepping at the end, man. We're saying, "Woo, man, I ain't got that weight on me anymore. I'm living for Christ." And then something happens. Said, "Man, look at that backpack. Man, that backpack has some things in there that I really liked in this world, you know, that'll make me feel better." So we go get that backpack, we stick it on. And we talked about this on, you know, Tuesday night too. We put that stuff back in our lives. And we think, well, I'm going to go take a drink of alcohol because it'll make me feel better. I'll tell you what alcohol will do. It might be a temporary because it's fake. It's going to wear off. And guess what you're going to do? You're going to feel worse afterwards than you did beforehand. Because what is alcohol? It is a downer. And it will make you, you know, feel better because you are numb at the moment. But whenever you come off of that high, or you come off of that low, you know, you'll think, man, what did I do? And then you'll be in more bondage than you were before. And you may say, well, I'm going to just shoot up, you know, with this drug in my life, and it's going to bring you under more bondage in your life. You said, well, it make me feel better for a little while, but I don't want to feel better for a little while. I want to feel better for eternity. And the only one that will give you that high is Jesus Christ. It's because I'm going to leave this world high-stepping it to heaven one day. Whether it's the cloud way or the clog way, we're going. We're going one way in our life. So we need to live in freedom and don't go put them things back on that we have, God has delivered us from in our life. And it may be religious things. Well, Brother Jimmy, I follow everything that the Bible tells me to a T, and I'm going to do it whether I want to or not. I'm going to follow these things. And that is just as much in bondage as doing the things of this world. Because whenever we do it, because we think we have to, and we have to do this so that we'll stay saved, we're in trouble. Because now we're relying upon what we do and not what He did. And we need to rely upon what we did. So there is a danger to legalism within our world today. Well, before they come in this church, they're going to have to shave, and they're going to have to cut their hair, and they're going to have to get some different clothes, and they're going to have to do this, and they're going to have to do that before they come in my church. What is that? That's legalism. We want them to get right before they come to Christ. Hey, why don't we get a new thinking and let them come to Christ and let Christ do the getting right? We always want to put the cart before the horse. And there was a, whenever I was at seminary and we was at First Baptist Church Everman, we had a gentleman that would come. I think he lives in Oklahoma now, and he preached a sermon on that, about that, you know, the putting the cart before the horse. We want them to act saved before they're actually saved. Guess what? They're not saved. They don't know Christ. They don't know what it means to be free. We have to show them who Christ is and how He can set them free. And we do that through our lives, through how we live on a daily basis. And that's something that is hard to do, you know, whenever you're trying to live a legalistic lifestyle. We have to show them what freedom really looks like. Because we can serve God with a smile and look at others, and they serve God with a frown because they don't know the freedom that God has given them. Man, give God control of your life and let Him do a mighty work. Anna, number three. Because faith works through love. What matters is not rituals or rules. It's love. Why do we do what we do? We want to do things. Why? Because we love Him. Because we desire to do things and we want to do things freely because we love Him and because He loves us. That is freedom, is knowing love. Grace is love, folks. Why did God send His Son? The Father sent His Son because He loves us. Because He was trying to make a way, or He did make a way, back to the Father through His Son. God demonstrated His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before we ever knew Him, before that person that walks in the back door that does not know Jesus Christ, that may not look like we look like, may not act like what we act like, may not smell like what we smell like. Whenever we look at that person, we think, man, I don't want them in my church. And God says, I want them here because I love them. Because I gave myself just as much for them as I did for you. I love them. And we need to get that in our mind, and we need to start loving like Jesus loves. And that should be our slogan: love like Jesus loves, and everything else will take care of itself. Love. So we count, you know, what counts is faith, which equals expressions or expressed in love. So we need to see in this passage, verses 5 and 6, he says, for where are we through the Spirit eagerly await for the hope of righteousness by what? By faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Love is what matters. The only thing that matters, you know, in our life, you know, is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the next is likened to it, to love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang upon these two commandments. If we will love people, all the rest will take care of itself. So we need to work, or our faith, whenever we have faith in Christ, whenever we love Him, we're going to love others in our life. And number four, man, I pulled a four on you today. It's not a 6-7, but a four. So I still don't know what that 6-7 is about. We need to run well. Don't be hindered by what's going on around you. What do we say about these phones and looking at God's Word? You know, we get hindered by what's going on around us. You know, we get all of these different notifications on here. Oh, I'm reading God's Word. Oh, man, there's a human alert at my doorbell. I wonder who's at my house. What are they doing in my house when God says, I'm here right now, and I want to do something in your life? So we're running well. What happened? You know, whenever we run well, we will start loving others, and folks, we will be free from the bondage of sin within our life, and we will stand fast in that liberty that Christ has given us. To stand fast is to stand strong. Whenever we have things going on around us, the world can be collapsing, our whole, you know, everything around us can be collapsing, and we are standing firm in Christ Jesus. So let us run well no matter what is happening. False teachers can hinder your walk with Christ. You know, there's people that come in and they say, well, I think you need to do this or you need to do that. We say, get out of here. You know, what did God say? What did Paul tell us about this? He said that they may be accursed. We have no dealings with false teachers, people speaking on things of living their life according to, you know, rituals or according to, you know, running or living by, you know, different things that we do instead of by grace. False teachers hinder us from our walk, and we have false teachers try to walk into our churches. And that's part of my job is, you know, that we don't have false teachers teaching classes or teaching our kids or teaching anything else within our church. We have no room for false teachers in the church of God. We only have room for grace, for showing them who Jesus Christ is. So verse 7, it says, when you were running well, who hindered you from obeying the truth? Who is more important than Christ? Don't look at man for your spiritual, you know, growth. You know, look at God's Word. Don't be hindered with what's going on around you. Get in God's Word and absorb it because you want to, not because you have to. So some applications here, you know, next slide there, Anna. So applications here is how to stand free in Christ. We need to stand firm in God's grace. So if we want to stand free, if we want to stand firm in what He has given us, stand firm in God's grace, reject legalism and human effort for salvation. Because it was by a human, but it was by the God-man, and His name was Jesus. It was because of what He did, His effort on a cross. And let faith produce love and good fruit in your life. That's what's important. Let us bear good fruit in our life because God is growing it in us. Because it's coming through the vine. We are the branches. He is the vine. It's not coming through us. We're getting it from the vine. We're getting it from the trunk. And it's coming to us. And we need to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So how are you walking this morning? Is it in the Spirit of God or in the flesh? Are we relying upon ourselves for our salvation or what Christ has done for us? So some questions for you this morning as we end this morning is, are you standing firm in freedom this morning? And that's what a question you need to ask yourself in your life. You know, how am I standing this morning? It is in the freedom of Christ, or am I going back to the things of this world? Are you trusting in Jesus alone this morning for your salvation? Are you saying, God, I got this. I'll call you when I need you. Man, trust in Him today. Are you returning to performance-based religion within your life? Go back, Anna, just a second. Performance-based religion. Man, we live in a world that is performance-based. Man, in order to play baseball or to play football or to do any kind of sports or to be in the executive levels of business, it's all performance-based. I tell you, your salvation is not performance-based. It is grace-based in Jesus Christ. And do you walk in love that flows through faith this morning? Walk in the love that Christ has given you, and that comes with spending time with Him. If you will spend time with Christ, you will become closer to Him, and you will start working or walking more in love, and you'll start loving people more if you will walk and spend time with Him this morning. So our memory verse this week, or our first verse, so go to the last slide there, Anna, on this, is Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Some of our younger people, you might think, yoke, that's in an egg. That's not the yoke that it's talking about. A yoke is what they put on cattle or on horses, you know, to keep them together, to pull. It was a bondage to hold them two together. Do you want to be bound by this world? Do you want to be yoked together by this world around us? He set us free from that slavery. He gave us fresh eyes. So what do we need to pray for this morning? A fresh understanding of grace in our lives. The rejection of legalism and a life marked by love through faith. So let us pray. I said last Sunday night, you know, at the business meeting, you know, our church, we need to be saturated in prayer. Because prayer moves things along. Will you pray? Will you pray for one another? Will you pray for your relationship with Christ, for your brothers and sisters' relationship with Christ, for our church family, for, you know, our community, for our state, for our country? Will you pray for that? Will you saturate your life in prayer that God would move within this place? That is something that we need to look at and think, God, I need that. I need to be saturated so that we'll have a life that is marked by love and faith. As we have a song of invitation this morning, just think about them questions that we have addressed this morning. How is our lives? Do we need to grow closer? Are we living a legalistic life and we need to be broke from that bondage and come to relationship with Jesus Christ in love? Do we need to love our neighbor as we love ourselves? That's something we need to look at. And we need to think, God, I need you to help me in this. And He can do that because He is the one who paid it all on the cross. There's one thing I did not do is I did not hang on the cross. Jesus Christ did. And He was sent as a sacrifice for my and your sins, so that we could have eternal life. Let us all stand this morning as we have a song of invitation. Lord, we just thank you so much for your love and your freedom, Lord, that we have in you, Lord, that we're no longer in bondage, Lord, to sin, to legalistic lifestyles, Lord, that we are living by grace, the grace that you have given us in our lives. Lord, if there's one here this morning that does not know you in that freedom, Lord, that today would be that day that they would give their lives to you, Lord, and be freed from the bondage of sin. Lord, let your Holy Spirit work in Jesus' name. Amen.